Till Death Do Us Part is a lighthearted and sometimes satirical true crime podcast where we present our dysfunctional married take on serious cases involving other dysfunctional relationships. We hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome to episode 86 of Till Death Do Us Part.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Melissa. I stumbled over that
did
one.
Did you forget what we were doing?
Uh-huh. I did for a split second. I forgot.
We're here to what the hell are we here for?
That's how I feel. Well, I was looking today at the ratings on Apple Podcast, and we got a lot of new, really nice reviews.
Well, that's
so
cool.
If anybody wants to add to our excitement, you could go give us a review on Apple Podcast. We haven't had somebody hate us in a while, which is good.
Yeah, so we need some hate mail.
No.
I thought you were asking.
No, I'm just asking to keep our mental health up. So just give us a nice review.
No, because then it really just feeds our egos.
I do not have an ego about this at all.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
You're telling me that your mood wouldn't change throughout the day if it was just one hate mail after another?
Well, yeah, because then I would feel like, what are we doing this for? Why are we doing this for free?
That's true. Yeah.
Why am I spending 20 hours a week looking at research?
That's true. If you got just shredded.
Yeah.
But just tons of money coming in. Could you handle that?
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
You could?
No.
No, I think it would bother you. I don't think you could do it.
No. But the worst part is when they talk about you.
I could do it for a while.
Yeah, you think?
Well, how do you think like car salesmen feel?
I know. I always think about influencers or people like that who just get constant amounts of hate. Yeah. And they just keep doing it. Actually, well, the money's good.
Car salesman, that's not a good use of the word because they're people go there to get a car. So it's different. I'm talking about like people that have to approach people, like unsolicited sales.
Right.
They have to just have the toughest skin.
Oh, absolutely. But I also wanted to say and to tell you that we got a really nice review this morning from a millennial.
Oh, God. Really?
Yes. I did not think we were liked within the millennial generation.
How angry are they at us?
No, they like us.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, God, why?
I don't know. But this, I'm assuming it's a woman.
I say that. We're only a year away from being millennials.
I know, but we're
technically.
Our mentality is that of very much Generation Xers.
Yeah.
But this person said she was born in 1993. And that she really likes us.
Oh, my gosh. She's so young.
I know. We could have been your parents.
At 14?
Yes.
14, 15? Well, that's awful, but possible, right? I mean,
there's always a possibility.
Yeah.
So, anyways, thank you for that really awesome review.
Thank you.
And thank you for all of you who have reviewed us and said really kind things. And if you're still listening, but you reviewed us and said really mean things, maybe you should go erase that or you should just piss off.
Wow. Look at you this morning.
I know, right? Piss off.
Piss
you
off.
You wanka.
Bloody hell. Piss off. Does anyone say piss off?
I do.
Other than you?
Mm-hmm. All right, darling, you got some factoids for me?
Yeah, speaking of things like piss off, we say phrases. I think I've done this before, but not quite like this. So there's phrases that we say, and I don't think anybody, including myself, have any idea where they came from.
Oh, I like this.
Do you?
No, I like where you're going.
Oh,
this
okay.
is going to be fun.
So I have a bunch, but obviously we don't have that much time. So I'm just going to start reading stuff in order.
All right.
Not in order. You know, we always say to especially kids, like, sleep tight. Good night. Sleep tight. Mm-hmm.
Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Well, I don't know about the bed bugs, but the term to sleep tight, which obviously means sleep well, comes from Shakespeare's time. Mattresses were kind of more rudimentary, I guess, and they were attached to the bed frames using ropes, and they basically could tighten up the ropes, which would then make the mattress firmer, and that was calling it sleep tight.
So there wasn't air to make the mattress firmer.
No, it's not like a sleep number. Like, well, what sleep number are you? Right?
No, it was the ropes making
so
it tighter.
They would, yeah, okay. So they tighten up the ropes, make the mattress firmer. Therefore, you would be sleeping tight.
That's cool.
Where that came from.
All right.
We have all heard this because of the lovely TV show, remember, from our childhood, Saved by the Bell?
Yo, Zach Morris.
See, right away.
That was my dream boat.
All those people's images float through your head, right?
Yeah.
So back in the day, people actually used to be buried alive, which was just horrible. But it did happen a lot because they didn't know people weren't dead, I guess.
Well, and there was this illness that was going around where you appeared to be dead.
Your heart rate would drop.
Your heart rate would drop,
yeah.
And you're really shallow breathing.
Right.
Actually, I think George Washington, that was one of his biggest fears. So he wouldn't let them bury him for over 3 days.
Right.
Because he didn't want to be buried alive.
So they built these special caskets. So they'd put the deceased in the casket and it would attach a rope or a string, I guess, to their hand or finger or whatever. And it would run up and out of the casket to a bell that was up above the grave.
Wow.
And then they had guards that would walk around at night and listen for bells. Mm-hmm. And then if they heard a bell, they would rush to try and dig up this poor person and rescue them out of the ground being buried alive. So, well, a sense, saved by the bell.
Right. I don't want to be buried, but if I was ever buried, I would want you to do this to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm scared to death.
Even if we knew you were dead, it would still be funny.
It would still be cool. Yeah.
Like, what the hell's going on above the grave? You know, everyone.
Why is there a bell?
Why is there a bell? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, in case she's still alive.
Yeah.
All right. Rule of thumb, right? That's just kind of an assumed, like, yeah, good rule of thumb. Try and stay in your lane when you're driving down the freeway. You know, things like that.
Or in life, stay in your lane.
Yeah, rule of thumb. Came from a 17th century English judge. I think it said something like Sir Francis Buller. Anyway, he ruled it was permissible for a husband to beat his wife as long as the stick was no thicker than his thumb.
No thicker than his thumb?
Right.
What the hell?
Right. So if you married Andre the Giant,
ooh,
who's got a stump thumb, tree thumb, oh, you're screwed.
Ugh.
And then there's that. So that's
nice. Disgusting. I hope the women turn that back on the men.
Well, yeah, but back in the day, wives really disobeyed and misbehaved a lot. So it was permissible to beat them, clearly. So that was fine.
Say you're joking.
I'm joking. I love the 17th century, not living in it. So we got pleased as punch, right? I'm pleased as punch.
I've never heard that before.
You have not?
No, never.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That is a common phrase, probably not used as much, but it used to be. Yeah, I'm pleased as punch.
It's a homeschool phrase.
No, it's not. Stop. Anyway, pleased as punch means you're very happy, right?
Okay.
I'm pleased as punch. Yeah. Well, anyway, here's where it came from. 17th century puppet show for children featured a puppet named Punch that would kill people. Killing him made him very happy. He was very pleased with himself after he killed people. So,
what?
The phrase came from pleased as Punch because Punch was the puppet and he was pleased when he killed people.
What a jerk.
But
puppet.
You know what I'm talking about, right? They, back in the day, to entertain, they'd have these little small hand puppet shows and stuff.
Right.
So this featured.
Whoa, was it on TV?
Yes, it was on TV in the 17th century.
Oh, you said 17th century.
Yeah, 17th century.
I missed that one.
Puppet show. Because they didn't, that was TV.
It was.
That's probably why we all stare at a box, because back in the day, it was a box with puppets inside it, putting on a puppet show.
I wonder if they did that before beheadings. Because that was entertainment.
I think it all went along together at the same time. They're like, well, let's watch our morning puppet show.
That's what I mean.
Like morning cartoons. And then we'll go to a beheading.
No, but they would go to the beheading and there would be these people to entertain the children with the puppets.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. Like, hey, kids, come over here and see Punch.
He's going to kill someone.
And he's going to be happy. He's going to be pleased as Punch.
Okay.
All right. Well, there you go. Do you ever like to just let your hair down?
Yes.
You have heard of that, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. It's
Rapunzel,
not just,
let your hair down.
Let your hair down. Aristocratic women would always appear in public with very elaborate hair, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that would take hours to prepare. You can relate, right?
I used to do wedding hair.
You don't appear in public without just the most fabulous hair.
Oh, you know it. No, but I used to do hair for brides.
There you go. So when they would finally get to be on their own out of public, they would finally get to let their hair out. All that hair, mm-hmm. elaborate hair, they'd let their hair down mm-hmm. and relax.
You see those Hence sexy movies where the women would be all dolled up yep. and then they would go back to their chambers with their stable boy
mm-hmm.
and they would let their hair down and it yep. would cover their bosoms.
Yep.
As to not get an X rating.
All the lice would jump out.
Ew. Could you imagine the smells coming out of that hair?
Stinky, sweaty hair.
Nasty.
Yummy.
Mm-hmm.
You heard the term more than you can shake a stick at.
Nope.
Oh my, are you serious?
Never heard that before.
I hope people are screaming right now.
Yeah,
that
probably.
Is a common phrase. It's more than
know.
You can shake a stick at. It actually means more of something than you need, basically. But
okay.
Anyway, it's more than you can shake a stick at. How have you not heard all these terms?
Know.
These are very common.
This is only the second one I haven't heard.
All right. Well, anyway, farmers that would take care of their sheep would use a stick, like a sheep staff.
Okay.
You know what that, right?
Yes, I know what that is.
Okay. All right. Which would help them to guide the sheep, right, into the direction they wanted them to go. If they had too many sheep, then they would lose control of the sheep. So it would meant they had more sheep than they could shake their stick at, because they would shake the stick and try and get the sheep to move.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the sheep would overwhelm the farmer with the stick. So
okay,
more than you can shake it. But see, now you don't even know what I'm talking about, so it doesn't help.
I do now.
Okay, how about this one? You're no spring chicken.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Right?
Probably on the Golden Girls. You
probably heard it more lately because we're getting old.
Oh, gosh.
Which basically means you're no longer in your prime.
Damn it.
Essentially, right? New England chicken farmers would usually try and sell their chickens in the spring. They would also try and sell the chickens that survived through the winter that they had prior to the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And people buying the chickens would look at these and go, that's no spring chicken.
Oh, they knew they were the old hens.
Right. The ones that were all feeble and barely survived the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'd be like, no, I'm not giving you top dollar for that. That's no spring chicken.
All right.
There you go.
I like that.
All right. Last one. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
I've heard that.
Back in circus 1500s, people would rarely bathe, usually like once a year. And the whole family, when they did, would use the same bathwater. Yummy.
Ew. You'd yeah. always want to go first, not the last.
The husband would always get to start first because he's the most important, I guess.
Ew.
Right?
Anyway. And the dirtiest.
And then the rest of the men, followed by the women, and on down the line. The last one that would get to bathe would be the babies. By then, the water is not clear. It's very murky and dirty. So they would always say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater because, I don't know, I guess it could be they wouldn't see it.
Like you forget that there's a baby in the bathwater?
By then, yeah. So that's where that came from. It's kind of awful.
That is awful.
Yeah, so there you go. You're welcome.
Let's end on that note.
Sure. Don't throw the baby out with the murky, nasty-ass bathwater.
I'm just picturing that bathwater, and it's seriously making me nauseous. All right. Well, thanks.
Sure.
Daniel.
Melissa.
Are you ready for my case?
Nope.
Okay. This is the case of Douglas Callie and Angela Williams.
Okay.
In December of 2012, police were called to the home of Angela Williams and her live-in boyfriend, David Granger.
Oh, boy.
The home was located in Indented Head on the Bellarine Peninsula in Victoria, Australia.
Hold on. There's a place called Indented Head?
Yes. I was hoping you were going to notice that.
Well, how could I not notice it? How could you not notice an indented head? If someone walks by you and you go, hey, I don't know if you noticed, but kind of an indented head. And someone thought that would make a great name for a town.
Yeah.
Indented Head. Indented All right, please continue. Head.
Okay, so we're in Australia.
Sure.
And this is in honor of all of our new Australian listeners.
Yeah, and then they can explain to us why there's a place called Indented Head.
Well, Angela had something she needed to tell the police.
Sure.
Something they had been questioning her about for years. Once investigators arrived, Angela took the men into her back garden and pointed to an area near the fence and told them that her common-law husband of 23 years, 48-year-old Douglas Calley, could be found buried right there.
Oh, boy.
And she refused to move any closer to the area. The police were shocked.
Yeah.
They were shocked by where he was buried, but they weren't shocked that he was deceased.
Okay.
Douglas Calley, also known as Doug.
Sure.
Had not been heard from by anyone other than Angela in over 4 years.
So he was 48 when he went missing, or he's been 48 years?
He was 48 years when he went.
Gotcha.
Years okay. old when he went missing.
All right.
Doug's family even had him listed as a missing person. Angela had told everyone, including the two children that Doug and she shared, that Doug had up and moved out, relocating to his favorite fishing spot in Kiama, New South Wales.
Sounds glorious.
Actually, it's beautiful. It's yeah. like this fishing town.
Like, I'm out. I'm going fishing.
Mm-hmm. Over those 4 years, Doug would occasionally call Angela, where she would excuse herself into another room to talk with him in private. He would send Angela gifts for the children for her to present to them at holidays and birthdays, even sending their son his prized diving watch.
Oh, well, that was nice of him.
But his family wasn't really buying Angela's story, and neither were the police.
Mm-hmm.
So they continued to question Angela. Sometimes she would answer their questions, and other times she would beg them to stop scrutinizing her. One of the questions that never seemed to be answered was, why, in the last 4 years, had Doug never touched any of the money in his bank accounts?
That's a good question.
What was he living off of?
The land.
And she could not answer. Within the last few weeks, Angela felt as if the police were finally closing in on her. The local police had even acquired a warrant to search the home that Angela had shared with Doug, but now was sharing with her boyfriend, David.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
After spraying the bedroom walls with luminol, a large blood stain was found on one of the walls and around the bed area. But Angela had still not been arrested. Angela was not arrested for that.
Right.
Because there was no proof that that blood was even Doug's, let alone part of a crime scene. Without a body, it would be hard to charge Angela with anything. They couldn't charge her with murder.
No.
Maybe she was telling the truth. Maybe Doug had walked out on everyone and was living his life without them.
Possibly.
Possibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we actually know he wasn't.
Yes.
Because she had pointed to that area and said Doug was there.
Because you started off telling us he's in the backyard.
I did.
Right.
I buried the lead.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she buried the lead.
But there's more to this.
Sure.
Okay. Doug would not be described as someone who lit up a room when he walked in.
Not like you.
No. He was not well liked.
Oh, well, then screw him. Let's bury him in the backyard. Get this over with.
Especially by Angela and their children.
Oh, okay.
Doug was actually a jerk.
Oh.
He was mean, controlling, demeaning, domineering, belittling, and abusive.
Wow.
Emotionally and sometimes physically, especially to Angela. Doug had immigrated to Australia with his family from Yugoslavia when he was 9 years old.
Do you know what came out of Yugoslavia?
What?
The Yugo.
Yes. Yep. The Yugo.
That's what it's...
The car.
The horribly little itty-bitty ugly car. It's called the Yugo.
If you want to hear all about that car, you should watch the movie called Drowning Mona.
I've never heard of that.
It was a town, gosh, somewhere in the United States that Yugo gave every person who lived in this town a Yugo to test drive and all those things. And then they made a movie about it.
Nice.
It has to do with a murder.
And then some of those awful cars made their way into the United States.
Yeah, in this one town. Doug and Angela met on a fishing pier when he was 25 and she was 17. Soon after meeting, they were dating and eventually had two children together. Angela worked in the textile industry, and Doug usually fished up to four times a week with his best friend, David Granger.
Oh, okay.
And made a living selling drugs.
So, okay, so she works in a textile industry, which
she
sounds awful.
She sewed underwear.
Right. She's sewing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to go out and fish with his buddy and sell drugs.
Right.
Okay.
But you recognize the buddy's name?
Yes, the buddy is now her boyfriend.
Oh, ding, ding, ding. Good job. I treat you like a child.
Well, people don't wander too far from their circle.
No.
Have you noticed that?
When you're comfortable with someone, you kind of stay in that area.
People cheat on with people or whatever. It's usually someone they know. It's usually like a close relative. I mean, not theirs.
That's true.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Friend, something like that.
Usually if you're going to cheat and you're just hooking up with strangers, you're kind of meeting online. And it's just kind of a bang, and then you're done.
Wow.
It's not a relationship.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's true. But before, we didn't have online. But I suppose there were other ways.
Oh, yeah.
Like a newspaper ad.
According to the information that I was able to find, he just sold marijuana. The ganja.
Okay. All right. Well.
And he'd been arrested twice for illegal activities. Angela had even taken the rap for Doug during a drug bust at the home. She told the police that the drugs were hers.
I would be pissed. But although she knew he did that, right? So she was okay with it.
Well, I mean, it's not like she was okay with it, but that was really how they were able to survive.
Okay.
Because he didn't really have a job. She didn't work anymore.
Right.
They were getting Social Security benefits, but that's not very much. So
in Australia?
In Australia.
Oh, I didn't know they had, I guess I didn't know what they use, but okay.
Yeah, they had stuff like that.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, Angela was convicted, but she served no jail time since this was her first offense. Now, if he were to take the rap for his third offense, he would have been put in jail.
He would have been hung immediately. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
Public stoning.
It seemed to me that Angela was controlled by Doug.
So she never really got to be an adult.
No.
Mm-mm. She never got to gain life experience on her own, is my point.
No, because she went from her parents' house
right.
to Doug's
to
house.
Doug, and that's
right.
it.
Right. Mm-hmm. But they were never married.
Yeah, but they were together.
They were
so
together.
She wasn't, she was wrapped up with him.
Yes.
Okay.
Doug also liked to drink and was considered an alcoholic. A drunk.
Sure.
Only he was not a nice drunk.
Mm.
He was a mean drunk. In reading the information I could gather on this case, it just seemed like Doug was not a likable guy.
So she had no other options? Because they're not even married. She could have just left.
But he was verbally, emotionally, physically abusive. So it gets to the point of where you feel like you can't leave, especially with the two kids. And how is she going to make money?
Yeah, that's true.
So now we're going back to the crime scene.
Okay.
So, I was trying to do the
transition music.
Transition music.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Was that from like Wayne's World? Do you remember that? No?
Okay. Vaguely. Yeah.
Doug's body was removed from the shallow grave. He had been wrapped in a blue tarpaulin, and it looked as though Doug had been hit in the head multiple times by a sharp object. Angela was taken to the local police precinct to be questioned. Angela told the investigators that she was a victim of domestic abuse by the hands of Doug and that the killing was done in self-defense. She had feared for her life. Now remember, Doug has a history of this.
That's true.
According to her.
Yeah.
Okay. On the morning of July 10th, 2008, Doug had told Angela that he was leaving her. He gathered up some money and she drove him to the Geelong train station and he left. Now, Geelong is spelled G-E-E-L-O-N-G, but I looked it up and it's pronounced Geelong.
Geelong.
So I don't know.
You know how long...
Australia, you guys are funny. I love
Geelong
you.
Geelong is pretty long.
Yeah. I think it's a town.
So, okay.
It's a town called Geelong.
If I said I'm leaving you, that's it. Like, hey, tired of you, I'm leaving you. By the way, I need you to take me to a train station and drop me off.
I think she would probably be excited.
Let me help you pack.
Yeah. Like, don't let the car door hit you on the way out.
Right.
You SOB. I mean, if what she's saying is true, and he is that abusive verbally and physically, then it's like, all right, peace out, bye.
Well, I mean, I guess if he's going to leave, she needs the car, so...
She does.
She can't
she has
exactly
the two kids.
Have him drive himself, because then how would she go get the car and bring it back?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fair.
Well, she was a little upset when he left, so she drove over to David's house and told him that Doug had left her. She and the children ended up staying with David at his house for a few nights.
Okay.
A couple days after Doug had left, he returned home to an empty house. When Angela returned home, Doug accused her of having an affair.
Wait. But, well, according to her, he left her. So right. There's no affair because it's over. So she could start with anyone she wants, even if that weren't true.
That's true, but this is her account of what happened.
Okay, all right.
He began yelling at her and screaming, "Where the F have you been?" And stuff like that. That's in quotes.
Well, where the hell did he go?
This is actually her words.
Yeah, okay.
Where did he go?
Well, I mean, if that's
he
all true,
fishing.
He left, so why couldn't she scream at her? Why couldn't she scream at him and say, "Where the F have you been? Where did you go? You're having an affair," right?
Yeah, but I don't think that's how their relationship worked.
Ah, okay. It only goes one way?
Yes.
All right.
Then Doug proceeded to punch her in the chest and other areas of Angela's body. Now, this is another quote from Angela. "He just kept going and going and going and pushing and shoving and swearing. Doug and Angela ended up in their bedroom. Doug shoved Angela up against the bedroom wall and put his hands around her neck. He began to squeeze. Angela was able to get away, and behind the bedroom door were tools. There was a tomahawk, a shovel."
Wait. A tomahawk?
Yeah, they had a tomahawk just chilling behind their bedroom door.
Who the hell has a tomahawk just randomly hang? Okay, never mind.
That was just their thing that they had.
Sure.
And then a shovel.
Uh-huh, of course.
And a 45-centimeter long pickaxe.
All of this behind a bedroom door.
Yeah. I think that would go in the shed or the garage.
Right? Or anywhere but behind the bedroom door. That's weird.
Well, Angela decided to grab that pickaxe and held it up over her shoulder. And then Doug started taunting her.
Ooh, that's always a good idea.
He said, "Go on, do it, you effing fat slut."
No, that might bring something on. Yeah,
yeah. I'd be pissed
be
about
like,
that.
All right, here comes.
Well, without hesitation, Angela swung and hit Doug with the pickaxe right in the head.
Ooh, and everyone now is picturing that with the sharp, pointy end of the pickaxe just impaled into his head.
Right in his head.
Cool.
Well, Angela told the investigators, "I don't know. I just lost it."
Uh-huh.
She then says that Doug fell back onto the bed and she struck him 15 more times with the pickaxe in the head, face, and neck areas, saying, "I just freaked out."
Okay, that might be excessive. That's probably... I mean, the first pickaxe to the head probably was enough.
Oh, look at you.
Well, I'm just saying. Like,
Mr. Medical Examiner over here.
I don't
here.
Think you have to be a medical examiner to know that a pickaxe to the head is pretty much a one-shot deal.
Angela then said, "He just lay there. He didn't move. He was just bleeding everywhere."
Yeah. You just hit him with a pickaxe.
"I couldn't figure out what to do, so I just stood there. I should have done something. I just left him there, locked in the house, and left."
Oh, God. Okay.
To Angela, she had no other choice. It was her life or Doug's. My question always was, where are the kids?
Right? They're outside playing, riding their bikes around.
Probably like normal kids should be doing.
Right. Not on electronic devices, Xbox, all that crap.
Yeah. But I was just thinking, like, where are the kids when all this is going down? Probably at school, maybe.
I mean, I guess they just happened to pick a time when they were alone.
Seemed like it.
Yeah. Okay, it's pure chaos. She has dropped him off at the airport. She's dropped him off at the train station. He's returned. He's freaking out on her. Like, it's pure chaos in this household.
I think it was chaos all the time.
Right, but now it has escalated to just the ultimate level of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So are all the kids just, like you said, are they just normal? Like, oh, we're just going to go over to Joey's house and play. And yeah. I don't know how the kids were at this point.
Yeah, they were teenagers at this point.
Oh, so they're borderline ready to run away, probably.
We're just ready to get out.
Yeah.
I think when you grow up in a household full of chaos and abuse, I think that just becomes normal to you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah,
probably.
And so it's just like, well, that's my parents. And which it's not. It's not normal. If you grow up in that, just the trauma you experience from stuff like that. Angela returned to the home the next day and found Doug still lying on the bed and covered in blood.
Well, how else would she find him? He was alive?
He was cold and stiff. Angela grabbed the tarp and rolled Doug off the bed and onto that tarp.
Okay.
She then wrapped his lifeless body up and taped and tied it with a rope. So kind of like a burrito.
Sure. Chimichanga.
Angela dragged Doug's body through the house and into the backyard. She dug a hole in the garden, rolled him in, and covered him with dirt, leaving Doug to decompose less than 40 feet from the house.
Fun.
Angela then began to clean up the crime scene. She got rid of the sheets, the mattress, and the pickaxe, and scrubbed the blood off the walls and floor.
See, this is where people make the mistake. Right. If the show Dexter existed, she would know to prep the scene with the plastic, right? Because he would then
crime of passion.
Right. It was.
This was not malice aforethought.
Spur of the moment. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I know. I threw out a big word there.
Malice aforethought.
Yeah, this was not premeditated.
All right.
But she did clean the crime scene and got rid of the mattress. Last week, remember, we had the whole mattress as part of the evidence and stuff.
Right.
But there was no...
In this case, she did a proper job of getting rid of it.
She did a proper job of getting rid of the sheets and the mattress. Right. Doug's body was autopsied. He had been hit in the head and face with 16 blows of a pickaxe.
Oh, so she was off by one.
Well, no, she had hit him one time he fell onto the bed and then she wailed on him 15 more times.
Oh, okay. So at least her story's straight.
Yeah.
That's good.
He sustained 8 penetrating and depressed skull fractures, most to the back of his head. It is believed that the first blow would have killed him on its own.
Okay. Can you remind me the name of the town they live in?
Indented.
Indented head, right?
Indented head.
Okay. No, I just... Yeah. Yeah. I rest my case.
Okay.
So ultimately, Doug got just wailed by a pickaxe.
She just kept going.
Lots of blows to the head. Mm-hmm. And this happened to occur in Indented Head.
Yes.
In the Australian area. Okay, yes. Perfect.
Right. I knew you were going to put those together.
Well, how could you not?
I know. Well, the next 15 blows were just overkill. So I think she just saw red.
Yeah, she was enraged.
She was enraged, sure. Exactly.
And she was taking out her built-up frustrations on this guy.
It was time.
Yeah.
Really.
It was his time to be pickaxed.
Doug succumbed to his injuries within minutes. He likely died from blood loss and a swelling of the brain.
Sure.
2 years after her arrest, Angela was on trial. She pled not guilty to deliberately murdering Doug. Angela was defending herself and feared for her life. The prosecution believed that Doug was killed between July 10th and the 24th of 2008.
Wow, that's quite a spread.
It is. Right. Yeah.
Well, but then again, they had to dig up his body, so it's a lot harder to determine when he died. I mean, because a lot of it's her words.
Yes, and that's really what they had to go on. So she killed him after an argument between he and Angela.
Okay.
Resulting in Angela killing Doug with 16 blows to the head with a pickaxe. Well, head and face and neck.
Right.
So Doug had never left that house. He didn't go fishing. He didn't leave her.
Right. Okay, so my question is,
she killed him after an argument.
Did she actually take him to a train station and he left and came back?
They're saying no. Okay. That never happened.
So that never happened.
That was part of her elaborate story.
Okay. So he could have just been in like a alcoholic rage.
Yes.
And just started like yelling at her and said, mm-hmm. You fat whore.
Yeah.
You know, whatever
he used to
her.
Call her very mean
right.
names.
And she could have just snapped and said, say that again. And then he was taunting her and she right. just.
Yeah. Just she was done.
Laid into him with the pickaxe.
The last independent sighting of Doug alive was on the 10th of July. Okay. That was the last time anybody saw him besides Angela.
Okay.
Now, what's the motive? Okay, besides Doug being a total a-hole, what's the motive?
I don't know. Maybe she met David or knows
well,
David.
Well, she knew David
knew
for
David.
A really long time.
Yeah, knows David and knows David's not a prick.
Yeah, he was a really nice guy.
And then he gets to like belittle her, to, you know, put her down, scream at her and possibly have adult aerobics with her. So she's just seething. She's probably just angry. And then it's like, I'm going to get rid of him.
Well, the prosecution believed that Angela murdered Doug to be with his best friend, David.
Oh, okay. There
ding,
you go.
Ding,
see,
ding.
See, David's always make out well in the world.
They do. And his nickname was Bear. Because he was just this big, furry guy.
All right.
Just a really nice, like, teddy bear. Yeah. The prosecution believed that she and David had started an affair before Doug was killed. But there wasn't any real proof of that. And Angela and David both stated that they began dating 2 to 4 months after Doug disappeared. But David was also the person that she ran to.
Right.
When Doug, quote unquote, left on the train or left her.
Yeah, but he could have been her, like, person that she felt comfortable with.
And I think that
And
was.
So she started really starting to look at him as someone who kind of made her feel good about herself
and yeah.
feel better about life. And then whenever she would see Doug, she would hate her life and right. just be angry.
David sounded like a protector.
Yeah. So they were already improving their relationship on the side. Doesn't mean they were necessarily like dating, doing stuff. But she definitely had David in the back of her mind. That's
David
for sure.
was her fallback.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, she was definitely preparing.
But there was a friend of Angela's who said that she thought it had only been a couple weeks after Doug left before Angela and David were dating, which I don't know. I mean, does that really make a difference? A couple weeks, a couple months? Does that really make a difference?
No. And if I were Angela's friend, right? If I were David
mm-hmm.
and she's like, Doug left, he'd be like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
All right. And then she's like, I really like you. And right. then he's like, I really like you too. We should get together more often, like every day. And then he's like, okay. And then there you go. And then it commences.
An investigator told the jury that when he checked Angela's phone records, he found that she had sent 185 text messages to David from July 10th to August 10th of 2008.
Oh, yeah.
I know that's supposed to seem like a lot of text messages, but maybe that's a lot if you're not dating. But if you are dating, that seems like a normal amount of text messages.
Yeah, but this is in the beginning of the excitement phase. So she's excited. She's
so does
like,
that sound like a lot to you, 185 text messages?
No, it just tells me that she's really into him.
Okay.
Because every little thing she texts him about or for, I am thinking about you. Hey, how's... And they just keep texting back and forth.
It was obvious to the prosecution that Angela was sick of Doug and decided it was time to get rid of him. by killing him. So they're kind of saying that it was premeditated, is what I gathered.
Well, and it kind of sounds like Doug is one of those guys that he's such a prick, he would never let her go.
No, he never would have let her right? go.
Mm-mm. There's no way, because then that's his whole controlling power thing.
Yeah, and that by burying Doug's body in a shallow grave, it showed a lack of remorse and implied guilt.
Or the ground was hard to dig in, right? I mean, this was in the middle of summer in Australia.
Yeah, it was in the summer.
It's freaking hot there, right?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. I've tried to plant trees out here in the middle of summer in our backyard, and that's just the stupidest damn thing you could ever try and do. I mean, I'm out there with digging bars, and there's no way. I put water in a hole I dug. I came back 3 days later, still full of water, because the water didn't go anywhere because the ground's so hard. So I can only imagine this poor woman's trying to dig a hole to bury this guy who's starting to turn.
I would have given up. The defense called Angela and Doug's children to the stand, who both testified to the verbal abuse they witnessed on a regular basis within the home. According to them, they did not witness the physical abuse, but believed that it was occurring.
Okay.
So he would kind of do it behind closed doors.
Literally.
Literally behind closed right. doors. They also told the jury that they each lived in fear of their father before he disappeared, and that he was an angry and abusive man. He also was mean to them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Angela did not disclose any of the violence to friends, family, or doctors while Doug was alive. For reasons of shame, self-blame, secrecy, fear, denial, social and emotional isolation, and lack of trust.
Yeah.
So Doug had isolated her so much that she did not feel that she would be believed if she told other people about what was going on in that home.
Well, we always say, society always says, why didn't someone say something? Why didn't she go to the police? Why didn't she do this? I get it. It's not that easy.
No.
And you're ashamed and you're afraid and think it doesn't make sense. It's not logical.
Well, and if he found out that she went to the police or she went to family and friends, the abuse would be even worse.
And the other fear is, what if you did go to them and they say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Now you've exposed yourself
right.
and he knows that you went to mm-hmm. tell on him, so to speak. Now you got to deal with his wrath.
Mm.
Right?
What a scary place to be
in. I don't know.
I know.
I mean, what are you going to do? Shoot him?
No. Kill him with a freaking pickaxe.
Put a pickaxe through his head.
Angela never took the stand on her own behalf, but her police interview was admissible in court, where she talked about her fear of Doug and the verbal, emotional, physical, and sexual abuse she endured during their 23-year relationship.
Oh, boy.
So now that he was dead, she could tell her story. She could tell right. what was going on.
Right.
Doug would not allow Angela to work outside of the home, and she became a sort of designated driver for Doug's late nights at the pub.
Oh, God.
Doug had complete and total financial control over Angela. After Doug was gone, she did get a job at a local store as a cashier, and Angela loved it. She loved working.
So why did she tell the police that he was in the backyard?
Because they had been questioning her for years.
But they could keep doing that. Eventually, they're going to give up.
I think she just kind of...
She was tired.
Tired of mm-hmm. hiding it. And she wouldn't let the kids... So David had 5 kids. And she wouldn't let the kids in the backyard to play. Like, she was always afraid that he was going to be found.
So...
The backyard was off limits.
The one thing, if I were her, is to never get a dog.
No.
Because the dog's going to smell that
right.
mm-hmm. naturally, and they're going to dig. If I were her, I would have dug them up later, like sent the kids off somewhere for a while, a couple mm-hmm. of days somewhere, and I would have dug that unfortunate corpse up and moved it. Just mm-hmm. saying.
I know.
Because then, and then say, yeah, search the house. I don't care. I don't know where he is.
Yeah.
I had a bad period. That's where all the blood came from. I don't know what to tell you.
On the walls?
On the walls, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Just, whatever. Doesn't matter because mm-hmm. they can't prove it, so.
Well, Angela started her life after he was gone.
Right. But now
she was able to work and yeah. had a really nice boyfriend. But that was still hanging over her head. She's got a dead body in the backyard, the dead body of a man that people aren't forgetting.
So she still his has family a conscience.
His family refused to just let it go. They didn't believe her at all, even though she was putting on these elaborate shows with him calling and sending the kids presents, things like that. The family was like, this does not make sense to us. The defense brought up Doug's physical altercations with other members of the community as evidence and the serious harm he had done to these other people.
Oh, wow.
It was also made known that Doug had attempted to sexually assault a mutual friend of he and Angela's.
Wow, this guy's just the life of a party, huh?
Yeah. His relationship with Angela and the abuse of Angela was done just behind closed doors. But he also took that out with him to the community, and he would start fights. He would get in these street fights and these bar fights, and then would come on to other women and even tried to sexually assault somebody.
Okay, so put this scenario. I don't know what you're going to read after this, but if you put this scenario out there, let's say someone caught someone like him attempting to sexually assault, it would not be a stretch for someone to shoot him if they had the opportunity, right? Basically in defense, like if you come across a guy raping a woman running through a park, if you had a weapon, he would no longer be alive.
Right. If you had a weapon.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
But people don't walk around with guns most of the time.
I get that. I'm just saying that just that alone, like an attempted rape.
Right.
Is horrible.
Well, and that shows what a monster he was.
Yeah.
Especially when he was drinking.
But that's no excuse.
No, absolutely it's no excuse. Yeah. But he would become even more heightened.
And
in
he had priors, right? He had kids. I mean, kids. He had kids from another woman, right?
From Angela.
But he had five.
No, that was David. David had five.
Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind. All right.
I know, David and Doug. I knew it was going to be confusing.
Okay.
So Doug was an abuser who tormented his family. Angela, in fear of her life, did the only thing she could at that moment. She killed Doug before he could kill her. She acted in self-defense. This was the defense's whole argument. Sure. Choosing to bury and hide Doug's body. The Supreme Court jury deliberated for 2 days. And on April 9th, 2014, Angela Williams was found not guilty of murder, but was found guilty of the lesser charge of defensive homicide.
Okay.
During sentencing, the judge had some interesting things to say.
I would imagine so.
She said that it was evident that Mr. Kelly would belittle and abuse Angela in front of others and call her derogatory names. Now, he would say mean things to her in front of people, but the physical abuse was done behind closed doors.
Right.
And that Angela taking the rap for Doug's drug offense was further evidence of the extent to which she was under his control. The judge believed that the children's testimony was exaggerated and tailored to support their mother, but she did not exclude it entirely.
Okay.
The jury was satisfied Angela intended to kill or seriously injure Doug and did not have reasonable grounds to believe the actions were necessary to defend herself, which was why she was found guilty of defensive homicide and not self-defense.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that in concealing the body and concocting a false story to protect herself illustrated a lack of remorse. I don't necessarily think it was remorse. I think it was self-preservation. So,
well, of course she would have a lack of remorse because he was kind of a terrible guy. Yeah. It was her own self-defense. Like she wanted to be not discovered.
But it was highly unlikely that Angela would offend again. And she was sentenced to 8 years imprisonment with a non-parole period of 5 years.
I mean, that seems fair, I think, compared to some of these sentencings we've heard of.
Yeah. Now, to me, I think that if she would have just struck him one time, which would have killed him, and then called the police, and then said it was self-defense, she would have gotten off on self-defense.
Yeah, because she kind of snapped.
Yes.
And then
it was overkill and then burying the body. I could see how people would think that that was, you know, defensive homicide.
Right.
Not necessarily self-defense.
Yeah. If cops showed up and she's like, oh, my God, he was screaming. You know, I thought he was going to kill me.
She would have marks on her neck.
Assuming that's true.
Right.
And then she goes, I grabbed a weapon and I just blindly swung because I was afraid he was going to kill me. He was trying to choke me. And they'd be like, yep.
Yeah.
All right. That takes care of that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that probably. And even then, it would maybe she would have been found something, but
well,
it would have been minimal.
I think his family wouldn't have let it go. So it probably would have ended up in trial.
Probably.
But I think she would have been more of a self-defense.
How does his family not know he's a giant prick?
That's a great question.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how? Okay. Yeah, you're defending him. But is the world really? I mean, did they really lose him?
Well, I mean, what's interesting is that the only people to get on the stand and talk about that was her two children, and Angela's father got up and said that he had seen some things as well. Okay. But they did hide his interactions with Angela well, to the point of where people knew he was a dick,
right?
Especially in the community. But they didn't know the extent of what was happening in this house.
It's not like they have to pull all of this stuff from the rest of the community into it. It's really about her.
Right.
So none of that is really admissible.
She wasn't defending the community. She was defending herself.
Right.
I tried to find information on Angela's life now, but I couldn't find anything. So I'm assuming that she's out of prison and probably changed her name.
Yeah, I would.
Hopefully she's with David.
That would be weird, don't you think?
I mean, I think she really relied on David a
lot. Do you think David believed her?
I think David believed her wholeheartedly.
Okay.
I think he knew his friend was a piece of crap.
But what do they sit there and talk about? You know, they're just sitting there chatting with each other and like, so yeah, remember that day when I put the axe through Doug's head?
Yeah.
Right? Like, how does that not come up?
I think you just have to bury it.
Literally
bury it.
Yeah, I guess so.
I did not read anything about anybody defending Doug. There was no defense of Doug.
So his family that was like, there's something missing here. They didn't come out and defend him?
No, not really.
Okay, so they know he's a giant prick.
Right.
All right.
But they also just wanted to know where he was. But that was very interesting to me that I could not find one thing of somebody defending Doug.
Maybe they wanted to know he was truly gone so they don't have to think about him anymore.
Maybe. So, Daniel, what did you think of my case?
Oh, God.
I know it was a little case, but...
It just brings up the what would you do?
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
It's the classic what would you do in this situation? Mm-hmm. And there is no right or wrong answer. Well, obviously, she shouldn't have put the axe through his head.
No.
But what would you do if you could somehow transport yourself into her body and what her mindset and what she was dealing with. And like I said, she started really young with him. So it wasn't like she matured on her own.
Right.
So she was probably kind of immature.
Well, none of us can transport ourselves into her body or into her thinking because she had been dealing with this for 23 years. I can't imagine the trauma that does to you to deal with an abusive spouse or abusive person for 23 years. And I don't know what kind of childhood she had.
Yeah.
I mean, this could have added to a traumatic childhood. So I think she did what she could at that moment.
Maybe she didn't have a real supportive family on her own.
Mm.
So she didn't really have anyone to turn to.
But
she didn't
have anyone to... Her dad defended her during the trial.
Okay, but he'd have to see this. You're not stupid.
No, and I think he did. I mean, he had seen the verbal and emotional abuse for sure.
Physical. Yeah, and he's okay, like the grandkids. He's okay seeing that she's like isolated.
I'm sure he wasn't, but Doug had so much control over Angela that he isolated her from her family and from her friends.
Okay.
So I don't think she was able to see the people that truly loved her on a regular basis until after he was gone. And then she was able to like start her life and get a job and all these things.
Right.
So
It's
really sad. It's heartbreaking.
It
and
is
people
sad.
Are going through this every single day. And that's what makes it really sad.
Do you think there would be more of these if people did keep tomahawks and pickaxes behind their bedroom door?
Absolutely.
All right.
I wish you would have used the tomahawk.
Well, that's what I thought you were going with. You're like, there was a tomahawk and a pickaxe. It's like, okay, well, that's weird. So but
in that split second,
tomahawk.
She had to choose between a tomahawk and a pickaxe, and she went for the pickaxe. I'm a little more dramatic than that, so I probably would have picked the tomahawk.
Yeah. We need like a katana or something behind our bedroom door, something really dramatic.
Ooh, yeah. All right. Well, I discovered this case on an episode of Deadly Women. And I read every article I could find under the sun on this case, especially from the Herald Sun, which is a publication out of Australia.
Okay.
I almost didn't do this case because I wasn't able to really find anything. And I could not find the transcript of proceedings on this case.
Okay.
So the trial transcripts. But I did find a case study analysis using this particular case called Did Defensive Homicide in Victoria Provide a Safety Net for Battered Women Who Kill? Which was written by Charlotte King, Lorana Bartels, Patricia Eastall, and Anthony Hopkins. Not Sir Anthony Hopkins.
I was going to say, yeah.
Just Anthony Hopkins.
Different.
So they used the court transcripts as reference.
Interesting.
So I read this case study and they had bits and pieces of the trial throughout. And so I was able to find a lot more information through that.
So indirectly, they kind of used this as setting precedent
right.
in other cases.
Because this was the last case for someone to be found guilty of defensive homicide in Victoria.
All right.
So now it's either self-defense and then it goes to manslaughter.
Gotcha.
So this was in between self-defense and manslaughter.
That was
so they don't have it anymore.
A half step.
Yes. So
fun.
It was very interesting.
Huh.
So there you go, Australia. And we thank you for your constant support.
Your contribution. You know what just occurred to me?
What's that?
If you really sat and listened to all of these cases we've done, there's almost no chance anyone would want to get married and have kids.
No.
Right? I mean, if you were worried about doing it before, you're never going to want to do it now. So that wasn't our
intention,
objective, goal. But
actually, I've had many people message us and just tell us that they're thankful that we bring up all of these red flags.
Yes.
Because it's not necessarily about the murder itself. It's about what is leading up to the murder.
Correct.
There's lots of red flags that we talk about. And I think that's why I wanted to do this, was to kind of give people the backstory to the actual murder. Because when you murder somebody that you promised to love and honor for the rest of your life, and that turns into murder, there's a lot of stuff that happened before that.
Probably.
And that's what I'm interested in.
Either something developed, or you did not choose wisely.
No. Mm-mm. Be careful of those red flags, you guys.
Yeah. No kidding.
They're everywhere. And be super picky.
Yeah. Choose wisely.
Well, we have some Patreons to thank.
Thank you so much, Stacy R.
Thank you, Stacy.
Emily P.
Hi, Emily. Thank you.
And Destiny.
Destiny, you've been super supportive of our show, so
thank
you.
There's no last letter.
No, just we're Destiny.
She's just Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica H.
Aw, thank you so much, Jessica. Sorry, I talked over you.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Red flag.
Red flag, right there. That's a crack.
If you're enjoying our dysfunctional take on these dysfunctional marriages, please go rate and review us. Or follow us on Instagram. Just say hi.
Yeah.
Come and say hi.
Or tell someone else that you think would get amusement and horror and shock out of hearing about dysfunctional relationships.
Absolutely. Tell your parents.
Yeah, they could relate.
And if you're a millennial here, thanks for joining us.
Yes, absolutely.
If you're anything other than a Generation Xer, we are surprised, but flattered and humbled that you are listening to our show.
For sure.
All right. Well, be careful.
For marriage is a life sentence.
And divorce is always the better option.
Sure.
I forgot. I was supposed to say.
It happens.
All right, well, bye.
Bye.